This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Mike Max for Chet Hartman on News Talk 830 WCCO. The Minnesota Twins are in first place after last night. This is a fun time. Different kind of time because you're excited, but you're going, but I can't buy tickets. Still, it's been a wonderful couple of months to have the Twins back on our airwaves and to have baseball back. Joining us now in the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, one of the architects of this roster, General Manager Thad Levine. Thad, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
How you been? Everything good? Are you in EcoPod, or where are you?
Actually, a bunch of us are over at the stadium now. Guys are getting workouts in, seeing the trainer, getting geared up for the last three games of the season, which seem extremely important all of a sudden.
Yeah, now I always think that like an off day like this, a lot of times some guys will just shut her down, et cetera. But if they want to access Target Field, I assume that's considered a safe haven, right? Because a lot of guys want to hit, they want to work out, they want to stay sharp. Maybe they want to take some ground balls or throw off the mound. They need to have places that are deemed safe. I would assume that they'd have access to that on a regular basis on an off day.
Absolutely, the hotel and the stadium are really the two places that guys can spend a lot of time. And you just nailed it, Mike. There are a bunch of guys over here. Some guys throwing bullpens. A lot of guys working out in the weight room, some guys hitting on the field and doing some work out there. I think they're taking the last three games extremely seriously. I'd say at least over half of our guys has spent some time here today, and really almost our entire staff is here working hand-in-hand with the players. So it's exciting to see. There's a real buzz around the stadium right now.
Now, as you head towards next week and the unknown right now is who you'd play against, I don't get so caught up in whether the Twins win the division, et cetera. You start looking at matchups. And whoever makes it to the dance, so to speak, the playoff dance, you want to look at, to me, especially in these short series, who's got the best one and two starters. And they may not be the best team out there, but if you got the best one and two, you've got a big advantage. How do you look at it, and how do you try to handicap that in terms of, not just winning, but who you want to play?
Well, I think the nature of a two-month season is we started that process about a month ago. And usually once we get too far down that path of discussing who you'd want to play and what the matchups look like, some sane person in the room would say, we got a lot of baseball left to be played. This will get sorted out. Well, here we are with four games left to play for some teams, three for the Minnesota Twins, and it really hasn't sorted itself out. I think we looked at it this morning. We could end up anywhere the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 7 seed. I think the 6 seed and the 8 seed are the only two spots that are relatively locked in at this point. Toronto's magic number is 1 in the 8 hole, but the 6 seed looks like it's going to go to Houston. All the other ones are still up for grabs. I think this is exactly what Major League Baseball had envisioned when they expanded the playoff rosters and the playoff situations to 8 teams. The National League from the 5 seed on down is totally up for grabs, and the American League is wide open, and it's featured by the American League Central. The three teams in the American League Central could finish anywhere in any order right now. Due to the push that Cleveland's made late and that we've made late. It's made it extremely exciting. But to get to your question, Mike, we are really looking at things. We want to get healthy. That's our primary goal. We've got some guys who are continuing to work back to health. We've seen Mitch Garver return to the team. We're hoping to get Jake Odorizzi back. Nelson Cruz has missed a few games here. So, too, is Luis Arraez. So we want to get healthy. And I think we feel we could take our chances with almost anybody in the American League if we've got a completely healthy team. The 8 teams that are going to represent the American League in the playoffs all have significant strengths. They're not without top-of-the-rotation pitchers, so you're going to have to be on your game to win a short series. We think the best way to do that is to be as healthy as possible.
Is Cruz okay?
Yeah, he's going to be great. you know, I think he was very close to being ready to play last night. But once again, with an eye towards the games that start next Tuesday, I think we were hopeful we could err on the side of being a little bit more cautious with both he and Luis Arraez as we get those two guys back on the field. You know, really, when you look at it, there are very few games that we've played this year with our proverbial opening day roster and lineup out there. We're hopeful that we're able to do that in the playoffs, and it looks like it's tracking just that way.
You know, it's funny how you kind of lose track of the teams in the American League that the Twins never play. I mean, you're aware of Tampa, you're aware of the Yankees, you're aware of Houston, etc. But if they don't play them, you're not nearly as well versed. And one of the things that happens this time of year, if you're in playoff contention, is you got your advanced guys. And for people not familiar, that's your scouts that go out and they start watching the potential matchups. And they look for things like, in batting practice, he looks to try to jerk everything out of the park. I think he's trying to hit a home run, and say, you know, on the first pitch every time up. Or they say, you know, after that second at bat, he threw his helmet in the dugout, and then he took it with him to the field. And I think if you can frustrate him early, there's all kinds of little nuances they look for. I assume they're not allowed in the stadium, and so everybody's scouting off of TV. And will that have an impact?
I don't think so. You know, we had kind of moved to that over the last couple of years as an industry. This time of year, you're absolutely right, Mike. You would send some of your best talent evaluators out on the road to complement what the guys were doing in the office, looking at video, looking at the data that was coming in on a nightly basis. So this year, we're more singularly focused on the data and the video. But I think we really trust our advanced team. You asked me the question earlier, who we want to play. I think I tried to answer pretty diplomatically. I'm quite certain if you ask that group of people who you want to play, they would have a hierarchy because they've done all the research necessary. And so the thing that's really challenging for them is they're fleshing out full-fledged advanced reports for three or four possible different opponents, and then also three or four possible different venues, as all of these venues in the American League play slightly differently. They're working around the clock right now. They're tirelessly contributing to this organization. And to your point, they're not being complimented by the guys on the road, so that just means a little bit more work for that group. But we've got an excellent group, and they've got a tremendous rapport with our coaching staff, so, and a ton of equity with our players. So I think whatever plan they put forth to us, it will impact the rosters depending on our opponent, and it will also certainly impact the strategy we deploy to try to win that first round.
Another perplexing part of the equation this year has been the home field. Twins obviously been the best home field team in the American League and in baseball. You know, you've been to Yankee Stadium, Thad. You remember, and you know exactly of what I speak. It's almost hard to explain to people that haven't been there for the playoffs. But when you go there, it starts with batting practice. It really does. And remember last year's game one, here comes the commissioner, and he's surrounded by a throng of reporters. Oh, and there's Reggie Jackson watching batting practice, and Paul O'Neill shows up. You know, and Rudy Giuliani's in the first row, whatever it is. Yankee Stadium was different. And as you get to the fifth and the sixth inning there, you feel this slow roar from the crowd. And you feel like the Yankees are about to go to a different gear and beat you. And they have historically against the Minnesota Twins. Now the fans are out of that equation, and yet the home teams are still performing at somewhat the same level. How do you see the home field advantage as compared to when there are fans?
So I think it's real. Now, I will say I think it's been mitigated by the fact that we are all now staying in a hotel, which really more simulates what it would be like on the road. A lot of the guys have their families with them, which I think is a real benefit to some of them who thrive off that and are energized by being around their loved ones. But I think it's a little bit unfortunate. One of the byproducts of being in the bubble here at home is maybe a little bit of a mitigation of that home field advantage. I think what we've seen over the course of this year, and we're not the only team who can boast this, but we certainly have had much greater performance at home than on the road. I think the routines that guys had prior to the pandemic are more normal at home. You're able to spend some time with family. You're able to maybe go to that coffee shop you enjoy or whatever some of your routines may be. That is truncated a little bit now that we're all in a hotel. So I think the notion of the home field advantage may be minimized a little bit. Now, the flip side of that is you get three home games, and I would be hard-pressed to look at this, and maybe it won't happen in every series, but I'm quite certain it's going to happen in some series where that's going to matter. Yeah. We've seen it with extra-inning games. We've seen just the ability to manage the game knowing you're going to have the last at-bat. I think that's going to be significant. Now, to your point on Yankee Stadium, I've been blessed to work with a few teams. It is a spectacle when you go there.
Certainly. Isn't it something? I mean, it is really cool. You just don't want to be the team playing them.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say this, the one thing I would want our fans to know is the enormity of the Yankees that our fans feel, maybe even some of the people in our front office feel, I would tell you to a man, our players don't. They just haven't been here for the legacy of the challenge of the Yankees and what the Yankees have represented to this franchise. That's good news for me because they're the ones actually are going to be between the lines and they have to play the game. That doesn't minimize the fact that the Yankees are one of the best teams in baseball without a question in my mind. If they end up in the 4 or 5 seed, that's going to be a really tough matchup for whoever faces them because I think everyone regards them as, you know, one of the 2 to 4 best teams in all of baseball. So I don't want to minimize that, but I would say, like, I believe strongly that the way our fans view the Yankees, the way our front office, who worked here for a long time, view the Yankees, is quite different than the way our players do. They respect them, but I don't think they fear them or sense just the legacy of dominance that maybe our fans feel.
You know, I love these kind of, you know, the luxury of when teams go into the postseason, you get to kind of dissect and micromanage some of this stuff, but it's kind of fun talk. Odorizzi or Dobnik, I mean, how do you get to a conclusion as to, Odorizzi, you want healthy, the blister, but, I mean, at some point in time, there's a roster spot, and you got to decide who's going to pitch, and it's the playoffs, and those are big decisions. How do you come to a conclusion with maybe not as big a sample size as you would like?
You know, that's the nature of the 60-game sprint to the finish line. You know, we've got a number of guys who really haven't had a chance to play a full season, and you highlighted Jake Odorizzi as certainly one of the most prominent ones, coming off of his best career season, one in which he was an all-star, one in which he was unequivocally a 1 or 2 starter. We really have not had his services all year. I give a credit to the rest of the pitching staff for its overall contribution to this team, which has been really marvelous in light of the fact that we haven't had him for most of the season. We didn't have Michael Pineda for a large portion of the season, and we still performed as well as we did. It's just a testament to the depth and strength of that group of men. Now, in terms of how that's going to factor into the postseason roster, I would tell you that one thing that's certainly unique as we prepare this postseason is the fact that we're going to have 28 players active in those scenarios, which allows you to maybe deploy guys a little bit more creatively than you ever thought to. Like, normally in a 3-game series, you wouldn't carry, you know, 4 or 5 starters. In this case, we may do just that because we may end up using them in different roles. So, you know, we've had conversations with each and every one of these guys. How do you feel coming out of the pen? What does it look like for you? How long do you need to get ready? What type of, game planning do you need? These guys are used to sitting down with the catcher, the advanced team, and the pitching coach and going over everybody in the lineup. How do you feel about just doing it for 3 to 6 hitters? What does that look like for you? So I think Rocco has gleaned all that information from these guys. That will factor into how we deploy them. But we're hopeful of playing past one series. So there's going to be some degree of trying to win that first series and concurrently preparing for series to upcoming. At the same time, I'm quite certain all those people you just mentioned are going to factor into that discussion.
You know, take us behind the curtain. Kenta Maeda last night, he got banged once by, he gave up the one to Miguel Cabrera, who got, it was Cabrera 6, the Twin 7 last night, and of course he's capable of that. But other than that, he pitched very well again. And he's got this swing and miss stuff, and yet he's not overpowering. He's not a power pitcher. Just tell me, when you're scouting, the fact that you wanted him and you reached out to, what goes into that? How much do you watch him, and what do you see where you go, okay, there's the key if we're going to make this trade?
Well, so I think at the foundation, giving credit where it's due, the league viewed this guy as a really solid pitcher. But I want to give credit to our analysts and to our scouts. They thought he was a lot better than just a good pitcher. They thought he had a chance to be a top-of-the-rotation guy. And the reason was they saw two of his pitches, his slider and his split-finger fastball, as elite pitches. And so, you know, the sophistication with which we're able to evaluate pitchers, it's just gone through the roof in the last 5 to 10 years. And so we're looking at spin rate. We're looking at depth. We're looking at deception. And to a large degree, we're looking at how do hitters respond to these guys. We're looking at what's the quality of contact against certain pitches. What's the frequency of contact against certain pitches. And in our minds, Kenta Maeda was the guy who was on a list with all the elite pitchers and the one that we could actually go out and acquire. And so we made it a priority this past offseason to try to acquire Kenta Maeda. Now, we gave up a lot to get him. Brustar Graterol was clearly one of the best prospects in our whole system. He's had a terrific year, and we wish him nothing but the best moving forward. This may be a bona fide win-win win for all three teams involved, because the Boston Red Sox end up getting Alex Verdugo, who's put together a really nice season over there. So I think there was really good fits for all three teams. But what we saw in Kento was two excellent pitches that graded out extremely well. Somebody whose preparation for the game was top of the line. Athleticism, I know he made a little bit of a throwing miscue last night, but in our minds he's kind of fighting with Jose Berrios for the Gold Glove Award. And a guy who maybe had not really realized his potential in the big leagues, because due to the embarrassment of riches in the starting rotation for the Los Angeles Dodgers, he was being used in kind of more of a hybrid role. We viewed him as a frontline starter, a guy who was going to go to the post every fifth day and give us quality and quantity, and he's done that and then some.
Thad, appreciate it very much. Get that mask back on, because Dustin's watching every move these days.
Mike, I appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you over the stadium in the near future.
Yeah, I hope we can. I hope we can, and we don't just have to wave at each other from the distance. Thad Levine, nice enough to join us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.